All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. Thank you, Jared. So, as you might have noticed, I'm not Sam. I'm filling in for Sam as he's off having a good time, it seems like. They were at the Ark Encounter yesterday and I guess went to a really good concert and are having a good time. And Becky's also here to, you know, because somebody had to stay, I guess. So, he left poor Becky here. But that doesn't count. No. Speaking of Jeremy and Christine, so good news. They are now certified and licensed for the foster parenting. It took them 7 months. It was kind of an up and down ride. But that's a praise. So congratulations, guys. That's a unique opportunity to fill a need in our community that is necessary and sad and heartbreaking, but also you guys will be able to make lifelong impacts. So congratulations. As you notice in the bulletin, there's not a lot going on this week. It's kind of a quiet week. We have, well, it's a quiet week. Not much going on. If you're interested in participating in Awana or you no longer want to participate in Awana, now would be the time to start getting with Becky and letting her know what you want to do. We do need some helpers, but also if you have been going through and you think you want to take a break, that's okay too. Just, again, let Becky know and we'll figure all that out. And with that, we'll go ahead and move over to the Richies. They're going to be going on a mission trip to Uganda. So they have some information for us. And I guess I should start by saying that this is a very important opportunity for not only the Richies, but us as a church family. We are able to support her, her, because she's standing right next to me, but the other one too. We're able to support them, and we are doing just that. So we, as a church, find the check here. So we're making a significant contribution to them for a few thousand dollars to help cover their costs. But that's not all they need. So they're going to talk a little about what else they need. And as a church family, if we can come together and help them, that'd be great. Uganda is one of those countries that they have not legalized abortion. So they do have a lot of kids in need of care. And the orphanage that they are going to is one of those places that, from a biblical and physical side, take care of those kids that are abandoned or just the parents can't take care of them. So, and with that, I'll let them do the rest. So, all right.
Hi, everyone. So for those of you who don't know us, my name is Kayla, and this is my sister, Krissa, and we've both decided to do an internship in Uganda. We'll be working as volunteers at the Jim Foundation, which is an orphanage for children who have special needs. We were able to go on a mission trip there last year for 10 days, and we loved it so much that we decided to go back. So we're going to be heading over there with our cousin Megan. We're all leaving September 10th. I'll be there for 4 months, and Carissa will be there for 3 months. The missionaries over there who started the Jim Foundation are Emma and Josh. We have a short video to show you. The first part is Emma and Josh talking about the Jim Foundation, what it is, and what they're doing over there. And then the other part is shows pictures from our trip when we went there last year and just shows our experience. So if you could play that, Jeremy.
The children with special needs are viewed as the curses. They're viewed as outcasts, unwanted and unloved. Reasons that kids with special needs are abandoned or they're tied up or they're locked in the room because the parents or the relative or the caregiver are just so ashamed of the child. We want to break that cycle of abuse and trauma and neglect for kids with special needs and show them how every child is valued.
One of the reasons we're called the Gem Foundation is because we believe that every child is a precious gem from the heart of God. And we believe that children with special needs are some of the most overlooked and vulnerable children that there are. The Gem Foundation is a home for children with severe special needs in Uganda that have been either completely abandoned or neglected and abused in their current home. It's a place for them to come, receive treatment, receive healing, and then also more importantly, receive a home that loves them and adores them the way that they should be.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Preach good news to the poor. Bind up the broken hearted. Make you known even more.
Hi. Hey, bud.
Open salvation, I will go. Shine your light to the
gives you an idea of what the Gym Foundation is and what our experience was there last year. It was such a special gift to be able to love the children, especially knowing some of the really sad things they've been through and the trauma that they've experienced with the attitudes that people have in Uganda with special needs kids. So it was a blessing to be able to share God's love with them and show them that they're beautiful just the way that He created them. And we're really excited to go back there and spend a few months doing that for them. It's really cool because now we'll get to go there and use our talents and our areas to work over there. So I just graduated in May with my music education degree. So I'm going to get to go over there and teach some music to the kids. I'm going to be working with a special ed teacher that they recently just hired and helping out with their classroom time. And then I'm going to be bringing over some instruments with me and doing some music activities with the kids. Some of them really love music and connect a lot with music, but when we went there last year, they didn't have a lot of instruments and things over there, so I'm really excited to bring those things and get to give them more experiences with music and hopefully show their teachers some things so that they can continue to have music a part of their lives after I leave. I'll also get to do a little bit of worship. Every Thursday, all of the staff of the orphanage meet and have a time of worship and Bible study, and so I'm going to help out with playing piano for their worship for that. And then I'll also get to teach some piano lessons. Emma and Josh, who run the orphanage, they have 5 kids, 3 that they've adopted and 2 biological, and they've asked me to teach their 2 oldest kids piano, so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to let Kayla share what she'll be doing there.
So I'm a licensed practical nurse, so I'll be able to be working over there as a nurse. They built a medical clinic on the facility that right now it's just open to the staff and their families, but they're hoping to open it soon to the community, so I'll be working in there part of the time. Also be helping with the medical care of the gems, giving them their medications and just working with their overall health. There's also a possibility to do a medical outreach. When we went to the Gem Foundation last year, we opened up the medical clinic to the community for a day, and we had doctors and dentists come and get to give free medical care to people We had about 200 people come through and get the medical care, so that was really cool, and hopefully we'll be able to do that again.
So what our weekly schedules kind of look like is we'll have a set of things to do Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, working with the kids at the orphanage, and then on Sundays, the missionary family has a home church that they do that we'll be a part of, and then we'll go with them to a local Ugandan church for Sunday school, and then hang out with their family in the afternoon. Saturdays will be kind of our free days where we'll probably like do laundry and grocery shopping and that type of thing, but we'll also have opportunities to take the kids out one-on-one. They don't get to like leave and do activities outside of the orphanage too often, so that's a really special treat for them, and we'll get to have some time to take some kids out once in a while and take them to like go swimming or go to the park or to the zoo and kind of have some one-on-one bonding time with them, so we're really looking forward to that. So that's kind of what our time there is going to look like. And now we wanted to share some ways that you as a church family can help us out. So our time there is going to be, we aren't going to be paid for what we're doing there. So if you'd like to help us out financially with our travel expenses or living expenses, or giving towards supplies that we'll be taking over there. So we're each going to be flying with 3 26-gallon bins. And a lot of that will be stuff that we're taking over for the kids. And we have two ways that you can help us out with that. So the first is an Amazon list that I've created. And this mostly has music supplies that I want to take over to do with the kids. So I've picked out little instruments and books. I hope to like incorporate some music with reading. And then there's also just some additional books for reading time with the kids because they really love being read to. I want to share a little quick story from last year when I went. So there's this little boy that I kind of connected with a little bit, and his name was Roto. And when I first met him, one of the workers told me that he loved music. And every time that I saw him, he was always making noise with different toys. And one time he was sitting outside and he had a metal bowl and he was banging it against the cement. He was just entertained by doing that, by just making noise. And I remember thinking how cool it would be if I had actual instruments to be able to play with him. And now, a year later, I have the opportunity to do that, so I'm really excited for that. So if you'd like to help out with me providing some of those things to the kids, I have an Amazon list for that. There's information about that in the bulletin, and Robert is also going to send out the link to that in an email. The second way is providing clothing to the kids. The missionaries let us know that they're in need of clothing, and they have a list of all the kids and their sizes. So we have a sign-up sheet out front with pictures of all the kids and their size information. And so this is a sign-up sheet where you can pick a child and put your name down. And then we also have a sheet next to it that you can take home that has their size information and the type of clothing that they're in need of. So this is something you'd like to help out with. Go ahead and sign up for that. And if you have any questions about either of those two things, let us know. And then lastly, we just really appreciate your prayer. It's about 6 weeks before we leave, which is coming up really fast. So we could use prayer for our preparations, for getting ready to go, and for safe travels, and that God would really use us during our time there. Thank you so much.
All right. Like I said, an excellent opportunity for us as a church family to support the Richies as they go to Uganda. Obviously a huge need there, but to God's glory, they have an opportunity to go over there and feel part of the need. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity as a church to worship you today through song, through a sermon. Thank you that the Richies are getting ready and just about there to head over and help some children that desperately need love and support. Thank you for the opportunity again that we have to worship as a family, and we praise you, and we know that if it weren't for Christ, all this would be for naught. But because of Christ, we just love that you've given us this opportunity. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. now that you're all teary-eyed and emotional, we're going to praise the Lord. Would you stand up for me for this first song? Get that blood pumping again. If you saw in that video, boy, they sure get out loud when they like to worship. So no one's going to stop you if you decided to clap. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood. And be seated as we continue this morning. Oh, the priceless gift you are to me, the mountain of my sin you washed away. Shadow of my night, you turned to day, and I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. Oh, I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you. Resonate from your heart. Countless are the thoughts you have of me. My first and final days are in your hands. Unthinkable that you would call me friend. The words that you deserve cannot exist, and I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. Oh, I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship. Compares to you. No one can compare to you, Jesus. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you have done. When we sang the song, there is nothing but the blood that can wash away our sin. Lord, we recognize that it's you and you alone. You and you alone that we need to rely on, that we need to call on as Savior. It's you and you alone who are worthy of worship. The only one good. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. All the riches of the world mean nothing compared to you. Fame and glory. A plane ride to Uganda. You and you alone are worthy of worship. God, I'm so thankful that you've given us an opportunity to support the Richies as they go over and make a difference, the real hands and feet of Jesus, willing to give up everything and move away, willing to go out and worship you alone in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we all decide to worship you with that kind of love. May we all decide to worship you and you alone. We love you. love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You will let me through the fire. Like no other, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after. Running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. I will make room, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Where I lay it down, you are all I'm chasing. make room for you.
Chasing after him, not stuff, not fame, but him. When we say, this is my surrender, and later on we're going to sing, I surrender all, that level of surrender may not look like for you going to Uganda. That level of surrender might be something else, but I hope and I pray that surrender would happen in you. We're going to sing one more song, so ushers, would you please come forward and get ready to take this morning's offering. This next song is called Gratitude, and from our hearts, from our lives, when we look at it honestly and we say, what do we really have to give God? What do we truly have to offer? It's only gratitude.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. And you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is alleluia, alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, oh, I will worship you. Come on. Oh, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is alleluia. Alleluia. It's not much, Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Woo!
Come on. Oh, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion.
So the worship nailed it. Gratitude, right? We need to understand who we are in light of who God is. And in that, that pulls out, or should pull out, gratitude. And when you have that as a believer, you are leaps and bounds ahead of those around you, which is not important, but it's where God wants you to be, is a heart filled with gratitude. So. Awesome. Thanks, Jared. Okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Law of Moses and a few bits of information about it. I'll get into why we took a little break here in a second, but I guess let's get into it. So in one of his many excellent articles, Dennis Prager, who many of you might know, he's a Jewish podcaster, talk show host, and writer. He wrote an article and he outlines his reasoning for why humanity or individuals might benefit from observing the Sabbath. And I'll highlight his points up here, but I'm not going to do the article justice. But listen to the points and see if you can find or if you recognize any truth of Scripture in there. And if you don't, look for that as well. Maybe it's missing. So his first point, why someone should observe the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath, it uniquely elevated the human being. Next, we are not just material beings. We must remind ourselves at least one day a week that we are sacred beings. We have a soul to feed, not just a body. Third, the fourth commandment reminds people that they are meant to be free. Next, the Sabbath greatly humanized and ultimately helped make slavery indefensible. Fifth, the Sabbath almost single-handedly creates and strengthens family ties and friendships. And the sixth point, Dennis makes. The Sabbath commandment granted animals dignity. So given these benefits, at the end he encourages readers that, quote, you might want to give it a try. And I think that these points do incorporate the truths of Scripture, as does the fuller article, which again, I did not do the article justice. And this is one of the reasons that I enjoy reading and listening to Dennis. And I think society would be better off with more people like him, that is, people who promote Scripture. His passion on the topic shows as he will regularly ask his Christian guests, do you believe that a Christian is obligated to observe the Sabbath? How would you respond to this? Charles? Okay. Well, I think all of his points are excellent. The application he comes up with is where it gets a little shaky. He calls his readers to give the Sabbath a try, which is not necessarily a bad thing, in that promoting the focus on Scripture is good. And I hope I would be the first to agree that we need to obey God in God's way. This is, however, why I believe his call to readers is missing important context as it applies to a Christian worldview and application, especially for us as a church family who strives to desire to do what God wants us to be about doing. So Sam just wrapped up Exodus 20, where we spent the last couple of months going through the first 10 of 613 total commandments, known as the Law of Moses. This is the establishment of the Mosaic covenant God has made with the nation of Israel. Each week, you've probably noticed that Sam has made it abundantly clear that the Law of Moses has absolutely nothing to do with a person's eternal state. And this was just as true 3,500 years ago as it is today. And in fact, you may remember from the book of John how Jesus chastises Israel for this very misunderstanding when he says in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Sam also stressed the point that when applying the commandments, it must be done properly. And he really hit that point last week. As church elders, we recognize that there can be confusion around the Mosaic covenant and how it fits in today. And so before we continue with the exposition through Exodus, we both thought it would be a good idea to kind of step back and take a look at the Law of Moses and how it relates to Christ and how it relates to believers. After the next couple of weeks, I hope we'll all be prepared to answer questions such as, do you believe that the Christian is obligated to observe the Sabbath? What role does the Mosaic Law play today? Do we ignore the Mosaic Law? And does law have any part in a believer's life? Now, we've kind of addressed these as Sam has gone through Exodus. But again, we thought it would be a good idea to kind of step back and hit it a little harder. So can we answer these questions right now? Doesn't matter. We'll go through and we'll ponder on them and go from there. I want to reiterate the point up front. The Ten Commandments are part of 613 total commandments called the Law of Moses. In part or as a whole, the law has no authority over a person's justification or sanctification. That is to say, the Law of Moses does not do anything for a person's eternal state, nor does the law do anything for a believer's journey to become more and more like Christ while here on earth. So you may be thinking, wait, Sam just spent 10 plus weeks going through these commandments, ending each week with an application for us to think about. Should I ignore that application? You also might be thinking, wait, Sam's out of state. Is Robert pulling a lieutenant governor here? Right? The short answer, no, of course not. The longer answer is that's what we're going to be talking about today and next week. So, I mentioned earlier that Sam and I recognize that there can be confusion around how the Law of Moses fits today. Why is there confusion? Well, we spent a fair amount of time covering this in Sunday school as we covered the biblical ethics section. So I'll be brief here. But I think it's important context for us to kind of revisit. The confusion typically stems from how theological systems or religious beliefs tell us to understand Scripture instead of allowing Scripture to speak for itself. These systems of belief have declared that for the purposes of application, or just another way to say ethics, the law can and should be divided into three categories. And those categories are the moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. And you may have heard these before. It's very likely you're familiar with these categories. The view on biblical ethics a person holds will dictate their understanding of the Mosaic law and how it applies to a person throughout history and today. So these three continuity views that we're going to be looking at explain the degree to which a believer is ethically obligated to the Mosaic law. These views address the question, does the law apply continuously, somewhat continuously, or not at all, from the point it was given to the cross up through today? Now, there's going to be some possibly new words here and some definitions. Don't worry about memorizing them. You're not going to be quizzed at the end. I just want you to be aware that for those who haven't been in Sunday school that there are three main views on ethics, on biblical ethics, and they do affect the way that we understand Scripture. So the first view is the continuity view. And it states that the moral, civil, and ceremonial laws are all still in effect. The second view is the semi-continuity view. And it states that the moral law, or they categorize the moral law as the first 10 commandments, are the ones that are only still in effect. And then there's the, well, I should say here, this is by far the most popular view, especially in Christian, in the Western Christian world. You go to online to find a resource, a children's church, a Sunday school, you're going to get a book. Chances are it's going to come from this perspective. And the last view, the third view, is the discontinuity view. Now, this view says that the Mosaic law is not ethically applicable to the church. Thanks to the work of Christ on the cross, the Mosaic law, which 2 Corinthians calls the ministry of death carved in letters on stone, is 100% in totality, completely inoperative. That is, it has absolutely zero authority over us. How do we know this? Well, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses. You may have noticed I put these verses in the bulletin. I did that for two reasons. One, there's a lot of verses. I'm kind of doing a topical study here, which I'm going to be jumping around. Can get kind of dangerous. And so I give you the verses so that you can then go through and make sure that my conclusions are accurate. Also, I've cut out a lot. And so this gives you an opportunity to go through and maybe you can find even more scripture that would either support or not support what I'm about to talk about. So how do we know the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative? There are four ways we can know. The first way, the law of Moses was always meant to be temporary. Let's look at what the Bible says about the law being temporary. So in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 15 to 18, Paul explains that the conditional Mosaic law was only temporary, and while it did make it clear that all fall short of God's glory, the Mosaic law did nothing to change the unconditional promises made to Abraham and his offspring. And here in Galatians, it explains that his offspring is Christ. And so jumping into Galatians 3:19, it says, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come, to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary." There's a lot going on in this particular verse, but what I'm highlighting today is that it was put in place until the offspring should come, to whom the promise had been made. So we see the law was added to the Abrahamic covenant until the Savior came. Christ is that Savior. Christ has come. Therefore, at the cross, the law has ceased to function. This is excellent news for us. The second way we know how the law has been rendered inoperative. Well, the law, or Christ, is the end of the law. So the law was always meant to be temporary, and now Christ is the end of the law. Well, how do we know this? In Galatians 2:16, Paul says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ, Jesus. In order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Paul repeats himself here. A person is not justified by the works of the law. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. In contrast, we see through faith in Christ comes justification. Next, moving over to Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So both of these sections contrast the work of the law against faith in Christ. Romans clarifies even further by saying, Christ is the end of the law. Jumping over to Hebrews chapter 7. In verses 18 to 19, the author says, For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. The author acknowledges there's no perfection through the law. No perfection through the law. And the sacrifices that were done under the law do not compare to what they pointed towards, which is the sacrifice of Christ. The once unattainable goal of righteousness is a reality for us through belief in Christ. What the law could not do, Christ did. Christ is the end of the law. So that's the second way we know. The third way we know why the law has been rendered inoperative is because Christ removed the barrier. In Ephesians, Paul outlines the results of this by stating that Jews and Gentiles are reconciled to God in one body, and the establishment of peace in Christ is theirs. So let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. How did he do that? By abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So at the same time that Christ abolished or rendered inoperative the law, our great God removed this dividing wall of hostility between the Jew and the Gentile believer and allowed an opportunity for peace in Christ. Next, we're going to move over to Ephesians chapter 3. So we see here that this removal of hostility and the ushering in of peace was a mystery in the past, but is a reality for us today. And so in Ephesians 3:6, it says, This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What is the promise in Christ Jesus? Everlasting life. So, how do we know the law has been rendered inoperative? Well, we saw that the law was meant to be temporary. We saw that Christ is the end of the law. We see that Christ removed the barrier. And next, we're going to look at how there is a new priesthood. And going back to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 to 12. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, which is the Mosaic law, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. And this section in Hebrews 7 discusses the idea that the Levitical priesthood was always intended to be replaced by a new priesthood, and that Christ is the fulfillment of the Psalm 110, priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So this was not a surprise. All the way back in the Psalms, God had revealed that there would be a time that the Levitical covenant, the Mosaic law, would pass away, the Levitical priesthood would be done away with, there would be a new priest and a new priesthood. And with that necessary change came necessarily new laws. So we've asked, how do we know that the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative and has no authority over us today? So how do we know? Again, we looked at the law was always meant to be temporary. Christ is the end of the law. Christ removed the barrier. And there is a new priesthood. So we learned how the law of Moses has ended. We learned that the law has absolutely no authority over a believer. Let me say this again. Because of what Christ did at the cross, a believer today has no ethical responsibility to the law of Moses. Zero. So let me ask the question that we started with. Do you believe that a Christian is obligated to follow the Sabbath, or thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not eat shellfish, or any of the other 613 commandments? The Bible is full of commands and edicts and laws, so we have to ask, does law have any part in a believer's life? Not just Mosaic law, but any law that the Bible lays out. That's what we're going to look at next week. So today we're going to close on this with the idea that, wow, we should be grateful. Christ has ended the law. We are not obligated. It has no authority over us. That ministry of death doesn't matter. We are believers in Christ. So with that, I'm going to ask the guys to come up, and I'll pray, and then we'll do communion. Father God, thank you that we know from Scripture that the law of Moses, all the way from the first commandment to the last commandment, has no authority over us. We know that we are not ethically responsible to the law. We know that in this we have freedom. And I pray that as we explore this idea next week, you allow our hearts and our minds to be transformed by this information. And that as a believer in you, we can enjoy our freedom that we have in Christ. I pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. So our God has done wonderful things in Christ, the giver of everlasting life. So let us remember what Christ has done for us as we eat the bread, drink the cup, and remember that every time we do this, we proclaim his work on the cross until he comes back.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark cloud, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt pardon, pardon, cleanse, reveal, because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Remembering how Christ's body was broken on the cross for us, let's eat.
Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, findings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched God, sacrilegious healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Sing verse 1.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
So we drink the cup to remember that Christ shed his blood for us. Let's drink together.
For this last song, I Surrender All, would you all please stand with me?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I surrender.